the chicken. Okay, let us begin. Simon Kuf test. We have three shurim left in Ta'arovas. Be'ezrat Hashem Yitzbarach. We have two on Simon Kuf test. The third one will be on Simon Kuf test. Kuf test is going to be a nice closer. And then Be'ezrat Hashem, we will start Melechus Bishel post Pesach. There will be a test, as I told you, on all of Simone Ta'arovas about a week after. We arrive back on a Wednesday, so I'm going to tell Rav Kirshenbaum to do it on the following Thursday.
That's scary.
For everyone. This way we have a week at least to just reorient yourself from Pesach. And that will be on all Simone Ta'arovas. You can ask Rav Kirshenbaum his style of his test, but usually it's 45 questions, Aser Mutter, one word only, with Simon and Sif Katan, and I think two out of three essays.
Now, open book. Look.
Open book.
Oh,
open book. Open book. Okay, so today is Simon Kuf Tes. Rafael asked me whether or not this is going to be a shiur that's going to be megale, your godless, or it's going to actually make a gadol. I tie that it's going to be the second one. This is a very fundamental shiur.
That's a very controversial book.
Very fundamental shiur on the mechanics of Bittul Berov, and it's primarily discussing a Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish, which we have not spoken about yet. And it's just as equally as important as the sugyas that we had in Talmud Kikar at the beginning of the year. So let us begin with Shir Chaf, Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish, the mechanics of Bittul Berov by Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish. Yavish B'Yavish, as we all know, are three chatichos. One chaticha is of Isser, mixed with two other chatichos of Heter, and you have a rov against it. Says the Gemara, Mishnah Chul and Sadivav and Beis. This is the Mishnah that we keep on going back to for almost every single shir. The first source of Bittul Berov by Yavish B'Yavish, the Gemara brings down a chaticha of Nevela that is mixed up with other chatichos, or a chaticha of Gid Hanasha that is mixed up with other Gidim. And the Gemara says that it is not Bittul Berov, and the Gemara in Daf Kuf says because of technical limitations. One, because of Beria. Two, because of chaticha Rulis Gabed. So the Rishonim point out, the Torah Sabayis and the Rashba and Bayis Dal Yud Zayin and Torah Sarashba and Simon Reish Ayin Beis are Medayik from this Gemara, that had it not been for the technical limitations on Bittul Berov, of Beria, of Chaticha Rulis Gabed, B'Yesod Hadvarim, these items should be Libatul Beruba, as the Gemara says in Tzadik Test on the Beis. V'Libatul Beruba, a Chaticha that is mixed with two other Chatichas, should be subject to the principle of Bittul Berov, had it not been for these exceptions. So this is source number one, Bittul Berov of a Yavish B'Yavish. The second source of the principle of Bittul Berov of Yavish B'Yavish is the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Ayin, also in Ayin Beis of Aleph, where the Gemara brings down a Shor HaNiskal. A Shor HaNiskal we know is Aser Ba'Achil and also Aser Ba'Hana, and it gets mixed up with other Shvarim that you want to use for a Karban. And the Gemara says, you cannot use this Tarovis. The Gemara asks though, Vali batal beruba. Let the shor haniskal be batal in the other shvarim, and let me use any given shor for a karban. The Gemara answers a technical limitation again. A shor haniskal is one of the answers. There is the balchai. A balchai is a davar chashuv, and a davar chashuv is not batal. But again, zok the tshuvas harashba and simon reish ayin beis. You see that biyisod hadvarim, there is a mechanism called bittul berov on a tarovis yavish biyavish. It doesn't have to be a chaticha, it could also be an animal. An animal which is mixed up with two other animals of shvarim would have been batal berov had it not been for the din derabanan of a bal chai. So these are the two sources that when you have a davar shel iser yavish, which is mixed up with other chatichos or with other animals, it is subject to the principle of batal berov had it not been for the exceptions, the technical exceptions from the derabanan the Gemara brings down for these individual cases. So these are the two sources. What exactly is the koach of this principle of Bittul Berov? Is it din deraisa or is it a din derabanan? So it's mamash mefurash in Gemara Gittin Nundal and Beis. The Gemara brings down the principle of chad vitrei batal, and the first word that it introduces that sprach with is midoraisa chad vitrei batal. So the Rishonim are medayik from this Lashon HaGemara that the principle of Bittul Berov is a din deraisa. Tosus in Chulin, Daf Kuf, on your Marukomos, also is Mevur, that's a din deoraisa. Rashi, all over Shas, Tzadi Chesem Abeis, Rashi in Beitza, Gimel Abeis, Rashi in Gittin, Adal Abeis, also points out that Bittul Berov is a din deoraisa. What exactly is the Makor deoraisa? Where do we find the source for Bittul Berov? Anyone want to say? So it says Rashi in multiple places, as well as the Rosh and Zayin Lamed Aleph. and the Chuvas Rashban, Siman Reish and Tess. We learned out from Shemos of Gimel Beis, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. What is the context of Achrei Rabim Lahatos? Beis Din. Yes, Asi.
We can see just from the fact that it's not Tirisuri Doraisa, that it has to be Doraisa.
That's good also. It's good Diak. They don't bring that Diak, but I guess that's very Diak. It's in Nevela. Yeah. About the Beruba. Yeah. I hear. Okay. Very good. We'll add it to the list. Let me think about that. So the Parsha of Dayanim in Shemos of Gimel Beis is where you have a, by Nefashos, we know in Sanhedrin, in Daf Mem Hei, if it's a din of Nefashos, you need a psak din of Chav Gimel, a beis din of Chav Gimel. And if it's Mamunis, you need a psak din of Gimel, Dayanim. In any one of these situations, if beis din does not reach a unanimous decision for the verdict of this person on trial, so the Pasuk says, if you have no unanimous decision, Achrei Rabim Lahatos, follow the majority of the Dayanim in what their opinion is, what their stance is, and that will be the psak of the din. So on a loose level, we have to explain this, but on a basic level, so who had din by Bittul Barov? When you have a Isser that is Mu'urav with two other Chatichos of Heter, on a basic level, the Xeris HaKosav of Acher Rav Mulhatos tells us to follow the majority. And since the majority of these components of this tarovis is heter, so we can now allow a person to partake of this tarovis because the rove of this tarovis is heter. That was a very loose way, a shitrius way of explaining the carryover from Acher Rav Mulhatos to Bittul Barov. Our agenda today is to discuss that exact carryover. So the question becomes, what exactly are the underlying mechanics of the principle of Bittul Barov by Yavish B'Yavish? And in doing so, we're going to then refine this exact carryover from Dayanim to Bittul Barov and Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish. What exactly is the carryover, the precise carryover? So this is a subject to a fundamental machlokas Rishonim. Seemingly, at first glance, just a factual machlokas. But when we uncover the lumdus behind it, you'll see two different visions of Bittul Barov in a Yavish B'Yavish. So machlokas between the Tosfos Rid and Baba Basra Laman Aleph from the Beis, and he quotes himself in multiple places in Tosfos Rid, but this is the most explicit in Baba Basra. This is the famous Tosfos Rid in Baba Basra, as opposed to the Rosh in Chulin Zayin Lamed Zayin. And the question becomes, simple question, how much of a Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish am I allowed to partake if I have the principle of Bittul Barov? I have two chatichos against one chaticha. To what extent does Bittul Barov matir this Tarovis? How many chatichos can I eat? So says the Tosfos Rid, explicitly he points out that only one person can eat one chaticha from this taroves, or three people can eat each individual chaticha. But, says the Tosfos Rid, one individual eating all three chatichos bevas achas, or even in succession, one after the other, is usur. Completely usur. A person is only allowed to eat one chaticha from this taroves. He's not allowed to eat all three, and not even zeh achar zeh. Usur. And not only that, says Rav Elchanan, he's medayik in the Tosfos Rid. What happens if a person eats more than one chaticha from this taroves of three? What does he say? Says the Tosfos Rid. It's in bold. Im achol shloshtan mevi chatas, which means it's a din doraisa. If you eat more than one chaticha, you will be chayiv midoraisa, because Bittul Barov apparently is not operative. What's the pshat behind the Tosfos Rid on a basic level? He tells us the following line, very simple. Balabatish, he says, if a person eats all three chatichos at once, or even in succession, he will definitively be eating the iser. Shaharei bibirur achal chaticha shel chalev. If you eat, your net achila is going to be involving iser. So says the Tosfos Rid, you can only eat one chaticha out of these three chatichos. Anything else above that will be a din doraisa, iser doraisa, that you have to bring a chatas.
Why not two?
You'll see in a second. You'll see in a second. Comes along the Rosh in Chul and Zayin Lamed Zayin and says, not that way. Argues on the Tosfos Rid. And he says, by Davar Yavish, Chad Betray is Bata Berov. Xeris HaKosav of Acher Rabim Lahatos, Hilkach, you're allowed to eat one person, Le'ochlan Kulan Ka'achas. You can take the three chatichos, make a triple-decker hamburger, eat the entire hamburger at once, Bivas Achas, not even Zachar Zeh. You can do the whole thing in one fell swoop, Mutter Midoraisa, and the Rosh even just goes a step further, Even midrabanan, you can eat it, all three chatichos, no problem. We'll discuss next week whether or not there are any isuri midrabanan with that. But says the Rush, mutter midraisa, mutter midrabanan, take a triple decker chatichos, all three, with the nevela inside, even though you're definitively eating the iser of nevela. And mutter, mutter midraisa, mutter midrabanan, this is the Rush. The question is, what exactly is the hesber in this machlokas? Apparently, the Tosfos Rit is telling you can only give one chaticha. He's making a very reasonable argument, because otherwise you'll eat the definitive of Isser. Says the Rush, no, you can eat all three. What's the hesber in this machlokas? And so, in order to appreciate this, we have to take a step back in Hilchos Rov in general. And this is really going to give us an eye-opening understanding of Acharav Muhatos, of Sanhedrin, and what the exact carryover is to Yavish B'Yavish. You've heard this before, Yosef? You sound like you've heard, not you. Yoko, yeah? Look like you, okay, fine. So Gemara Chulin Yud Aleph Amud Aleph brings the following din. Says Gemara Chulin, it brings a concept called the Ruba de Isa Kaman, a very famous concept that we've all heard before. It's Gemara Chulin Yud Aleph and the Gemara Ksubas on Tezayin Mabes. Where the case is, where you have Teisha Chanuyos that are selling, did I draw it? Yeah. Teisha Chanuyos, where you're selling kasher, one chanas, which is selling treif, says the Gemara, Ruba de Isa Kaman, if you find a piece of meat, berechov, somewhere outside on the street, you can apply the principle of kol de parish, meruba parish. That which was taken away from the sources of kasher can be assumed to come from the rov of the sources. Since rov of my sources are teisha chanuyos of kasher, I found a piece of meat on the floor outside the chanas, I can assume and attribute this chaticha to have come from the robe of chanios kasheros and not from the treif chanas, the last chanas. That's what we call a ruba de isa kaman. Literally, a ruba de isa kaman means that the robe is presently in front of you. The sources of the robe are in front of you. All these chanios are in front of you. You can trace back this chaticha to the robe. Says the Gemara, and this is based on a very basic svara called a statistical majority. Kol zman I have rov chanios that are kasher, the odds are, the probability is such that this chaticha came from the 90% of chanios, not from the 10%. This is what we call an empirical majority, a numerical majority, a statistical majority. This is the musug of ruba de isa kaman, zil basar ruba, go based on probability. Guess what? The Gemara over there in Chulin brings the makor for this halacha. What's the makor for this halacha? Acher Rabim Lahatos. What a coincidence. The Gemara Chulin brings Acher Rabim Lahatos. What does that mean? Because, as many Mepharshim explained, just like when it comes to Dayanim, to Sanhedrin, the Beis Din is trying to be Varer, the MS of the Psak, we're trying to be Mechavin El HaMS. So the halacha is, if you don't have a unanimous decision, the probability is such that if Rove Dayanim think a certain way, they have a specific stance for, let's say, Zakai, and the one guy is saying Chayiv, the probability is such that the MS lies with the Rove Dayanim. If Rove people think a certain position, a certain stance, the probability is that it must be the MS. And the one who's saying the Chayiv, the opposing Dayan, is Mistama being inaccurate. He's not correct. So just like we see in Rov Dayanim, this is very important right now, that there is a musug of probability that you follow the Rov Dayanim because of a probability that they're being mechavin ela emes, they're being mevarer the suffix, we're not sure, they are the beer of the suffix, we're clarifying this is probably the emes. So too, we can carry that over to a ruba de isa kaman, that if you find a piece of meat on the floor, you can assume probability that it came from the tisha chanuyos of kasher. Probability to probability. Rov Dayanim teaches us probability, and therefore we can extend that to a busser that we can assume was traced back to the sources of probability. You can even call the Dayanim a musag of sources. They're sources of stances. We are following the sources of the Dayanim that are in the Rov. That is on a basic level, a Ruba de Isa Kaman. Yes, Yonatan.
What if those two Dayanim were like huge? And you got up against 18.
Okay, that's a separate question. Yeah.
And that's not probability.
In the same posse, you have two things.
I didn't learn anything else besides Ruba de Isa Kaman right now.
You learned also the first one.
Okay, so wait for that. I didn't get up to that yet. Obviously, we're going to ask that kasha. That's a big kasha. You see, if you're on the money. Steps. Yes, that's
who makes this point about the probability of the judges of being correct?
I can show you many. Chiddush Rav Shmuel, Shiur Rav Shmuel, Rav Chaim. This is like the Rav Chaim is the famous. Yeah, all the Chorin. This is like a basic Zilbas Ruba means probability. I mean, it's found probably earlier than that. But this is like the ones that I see on my head right now is Rav Chaim of Bekamach of Zion, which we're going to quote in a second. And Chiddush Rav Shmuel, you're going to see that it's probably earlier though. We can probably find it earlier. Zilbas Ruba is the concept of probability.
By Teisha Chinnanus, we define the row by how many storefronts there are or how many pieces of meat they sell.
Right now, it's storefronts. Keep it simple right now. The Rishonim get into a discussion whether or not if you have, you know, 1,000 chatichos in one versus the other, that's a different point. And Echanami Yosef, not Yosef, Yonatan was also bringing up similar, you know, kinaches. Right now, we're just thinking of the easiest case. Straightforward, Ruba Disa, come on.
The Pasuk teaches us the Svar.
Yeah, the Pasuk teaches us. Right, and Echanami, very good, Sam. Excellent. Always on the money. Says Sam. Who gave us the right to rely on probability? Maybe the Torah always requires definitive vados. Mechi teisi, we should follow probability. We should just say, no, it has to be ten chanios. Mechi teisi. So that's the chiddush of gzeiras hakasuv. That we see from Dayanim that the Torah allows us to follow probability by following the MS of the psak based on the rov Dayanim. So too, we have a musa called probability when it comes to a chaticha that is found on the street from teisha chanios. Now we're going to get to Yosef's question. Okay, so says Rav Chanan found the Kovet Shum and Bava Basra, Oschuv Chav Zayin. He's actually on this Tosus Rid. He's also found the Kovet Sa'aras, Hashmata, Simon Ayin Alaf. I would say it's in your Mamre Komos, but not many people saw the Mamre Komos. So I'm just telling you where it is. Says Rav Chanan, this is going to be, I have to vent here and there. Says Rav Chanan, this is going to be the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the Tosus Rid and the Rush. Tosus Rid is making a very valid point. There are two ways for how to envision Bittul Barov. Says the Tosus Rid, I have a Makor D'Oraisa of Acherav Mulhatos, which the Gemara in Chulin says teaches us a Ruba D'Isa Kaman, which is predicated on the Musag of probability. And all the Rishonim are using Acherav Mulhatos to also give rise to the Halacha of Bittul Barov. Says the Tosus Rid, the principle of Acherav Mulhatos is teaching us one underlying din. The din of probability, statistical probability. Rov Dayanim taught us that you can be mechavin ela emes by following the Rov of Dayanim because they have the probability of the emes. So too, that gives rise to two ofanim of probability. One ofan of probability is called the parish ruur parish, where you can source this chaticha to the Rov Chanios because the probability is such that this chaticha sourced from the 90% of Chanios Ksheros. And says the Tosfos Rid, that's exactly the same mechanics when it comes to a Tairoves, Yavish B'Yavish. I have three chatichos, two are kosher, one is treif. I have odds for me that two out of three are kosher. So what are my odds? So if I take one chaticha, I have good odds. I have two out of three that I'm taking the kosher piece. But the second I go beyond one, I'm at a suffix 50-50. I don't have the rules of odds anymore. I don't have probability. Says the Tosfos Rid, this is all one underlying din. One din called a statistical majority, an empirical majority, called a parish, mumra parish. We can have sources by Dayanin, we can have sources by Chanuyos, and we can have sources by Chatichos. Three Chatichos are my sources. Which one am I taking from? I'm taking from two out of three that I'm taking from the Kasher. But once I go more than that, if I eat two, what do you mean? After I eat my first one, I have a suffix, 50-50. I don't have odds in my favor anymore. So says the Tosfos Rid, if you eat more than one, chayev chatas. The din d'oraisa of bittul berov is no different than zil basaruba of aruba d'isa kaman, atarovis yavish b'yavish. It's all based on zil basaruba. It's one underlying definition, one underlying din of probability.
When the second guy comes, what are his odds? Like, if you give it to multiple people.
He has new odds. He has an odds that I ate one, and I have two more. I have the one that he ate, and the two that I have in front of me. So, Nechnami, each one has his own odds. That's a very good point. The Tosfos Rid is willing to allow three different people to do it because he can use the one that I ate and the two that he has in front of him. But he will not allow one guy to use the fact that he already ate one from before. That's a very good point, Sam. Oh, that was a stab, though. That was good. Yes, Yosef.
Would you say this is... Are we defining it now or no?
Well, right now, the fee that Tosfos read, the one side of the Hakira is that Bittul Barov is simply an expression of Zil Basaruba. It's an expression of, it's a manifestation of Kol Deparish and Mura Parish. No new Gzeres Kassav is teaching us. It's another example of the same halacha. All three cases are the same. Rov Dayanim, Kol Deparish of Tisha Kaniyos, and Yavish B'Yavish is one expression of one din. That's how Rav Chanan says that side. Yeah?
Just to clarify, the point that Sam was saying, we're seeing as if the Chaticha, there's two Chatichas in the head that even the guy eats.
Yes, but he's only willing to do that when it's another individual. I can't, we'll discuss this next week, I can't take into account the fact that I may have already eaten one and add that to my odds. I can't do that. But if two separate people, each person can handle up his tyrobus. In terms of this tyrobus, there was one that was eaten and I have two in front of me, so I have two out of three that I'm eating the heter.
So we're judging the tyrobus.
Well, we'll discuss that next week. I don't want to sidestep. You're right. That's exactly, we're going to do that next week. We're going to define the different layers of how to define how many chatichas you can eat. That's all on din derabban. Right now, I'm just dealing with the doraisa. But you're right, Yonah. I'm pushing you off for now because we have a lot to do. Okay. This comes along, the Rosh, says Rav Elchanan. And the Rosh says explicitly not that way. Kimat mifurash in the Rosh, he says not that way. Says the Rosh, lav mishum sveika mutter. The reason why we're allowing Bittul Barov to operate on Yavish B'Yavish is not because of hilchos sveikus of probability, of statistical probability of Ruba de'isa commands like the Tosfos read. No. Says the Rosh, elegzeras hakasuv, that the Isser is nehepach lihios mutter. Says the Rosh, I see in Dayanus not just the halacha of probability, but I see a second independent din of the musag of Bittul Barov, and I think even Rav Elchanan, if I'm not mistaken, I'm almost positive, I'm not sure which Rav Elchanan I saw it in, he even is vidayik from the word Bittul Barov. The Gemara doesn't even use the same sprach as Kol Deparish Mura Parish. It says Bittul Barov. It sounds like it's a new mechanism. So says the Rosh, Bittul Barov is a brand new mechanism. That when you have three chatichos and you're not sure which one is the eser, which one is the heter, the Torah says that we're mafkia the shame iser on the iser that's in this tarobes. It's nehepach ha iser lihios mutter, lihios heter. So according to that understanding, this is not just a probability game. It's not just about odds. The Torah went out of its way to mechadish a new separate din, a new koach, a new mechanism called mafkia l'shem iser. So says the Rosh, of course, take all three chatichos, eat it all at once. What's the problem? The Torah was mafkia l'shem iser from a tarovis yavish b'yavish. It's nepach hayat iser lios heter. This, says Rav Elchanan, is the machlokas between the Tosfos Rid and the Rosh. The fi Tosfos Rid, Bittul Barov is just an expression of Zil Basar Ruba, and we have to play with odds. Masha'en Kein Lefi the Rosh, it's a new mechanism, a separate din called Napa Chayes Elios Heter, and you can eat all three at once.
How does it also be the Gwan Sadiqa? Did you say it's like a synonym?
What, Bittul Barov? The word Bittul? Yeah, it's a good question. Probably Lavdafka, and Echonami. It's a good point. You always want, like, I'm bringing a Raya to the Rosh, it's always like, okay, so now what is, you know, it's a literary idea. It's a literary idea. You have to, and Echonami. Yes.
There's also right to the Rosh and the Sanhedrin where the other judge is not allowed to say.
Wait a second. Okay, so let's go. Let's do that right now. Okay. So now Yosef's question and Pollock's question come to life. Here we go. I actually have two ha'aras to make, but one of them it may be a little bit too much. So you're going to ask me after shir for the other one if you want to hear it. It'll depend on your bikush ha'emes, and hopefully all of you will ask me afterwards. Revise al Kharif, everyone knows that Maisa Revise al Kharif.
He wanted
to give a daughter to one of the, instead of saying the mice, just say the no. So says Rav Elcharif wanted to find the best chassan for his daughter. He went to one of the yeshivas in Europe and he posed a question, a bomb kasha, and everyone started lining up. Everyone wanted to be the son-in-law of Rav Elcharif. Everyone started lining up to give an answer. Doche, 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 doche. And he was upset because not one person was able to give a good teretz to his question. So he gets into his wagon and he starts to leave. And then he hears from the background the guy saying, wait, it's a teretz, a teretz, a teretz. So Rav Elcharif stopped the wagon and says, oh, you have a teretz? He says, no, I don't have a teretz, but what is the teretz? And he became his son-in-law. You're not going to become my son-in-law. But, at least not yet. But you should ask me after shir. If I'm in a good mood, I'll try to put it in, but it's a little bit of a... Okay, so... Asks many achronim. The Prima Gadim Asi, I'll just tell you now, Prima Gadim in the Psicha Taroves, Perek Aleph, Rav Chaim and Reish Chav Tess in the stencils, Shari Yosher, Rav Shimon and Shari Gimel, Simon Tess Vav, the Chidushi and Shiur, Rav Shmuel, and Sanhedrin Gimel Abeis. And Chalkas Yoav and Simon Tess Zayin says, this is the Kasha B'Shem Kol HaAchronim. The Kasha is directed at the Rush, but if you want to hear after Shir, it can also be asked in the Tosfos Rid in a different way, a different angle, but it's the same question. Bishlama Lefi the Tosfos Rid, I have an easy, precise carryover from Acher Rav Mahatos of Sanhedrin to the Halacha Bittul Berov by Yavish B'Yavish. We saw from Sanhedrin that the Beis Din did not come to a unanimous decision, so we have to follow the probability that Rov Dayanim are saying the MS. That shows us the Musa of probability, because they're being Mechavin Ela MS, and the Torah says to follow that Psak and ignore the opposing Dayan. Easy carryover to Yavish B'Yavish. When you have two out of three, follow probability. Tosos Rid is glot. But the Fi, the Rosh, all we see in Dayanim is that we follow probability. We're Mesupuk what the MS is. Follow Rov Dayanim because they are probably being Mechavin Ela MS. The opposing Dayan, we ignore. We completely ignore him. So where did the Rush see this new independent din called Nehapach HaIsra Liyos Heter? No, we're not being Mahapich this last Dayan. We're ignoring him. You probably are not saying the MS. The Rov Dayanim are saying the MS. So where in the world did the Rush see this second din of Bittul Berov? That's the kasha of all the Achronim on the Rush. I'm going to say in one line why you can ask in the Tosfos Rid, but I'm not going to, I don't want to elaborate on it.
Am I saying over time? Sorry.
Yes. Bishlamalef in the Tosfos Rid, we see the Musag of Bittul Berov in the Pasuk of Dayanim. Because according to the Tosfos Rid, Bittul Berov is just an expression of Kol Deparish, of probability. By Dayanim, we see exactly that. We're Mesupak what to do. The Torah tells us, follow the Rov Dayanim because they are the probability saying the Emes. And we ignore the opposing Dayan. But Lefi the Rush, he's learning two things from this pasuk. He's learning, number one, probability. Ruba Disa, come on, that's fine. You can learn just like the Tosfos Rid. But how do you learn the second din of Nehapach HaIsra Liyos Heter, that the actual Tarovis is Mafkia the Shem Isra? You can eat all three. We don't see that in Dayanus. All we see in Dayanus is nine, let's say, Chav Gimel. Chav Beis and the Tayanim say, Zakai, we follow them. The Chav Gimel guy, the opposing Dayan, we ignore. We ignore him. We're not changing anything about his Psak. Yeah, you said the opposite, but we're going with the MS. Where do you see that the last Dayan became Mehapach? Mehapich. Where does the Rush see that? That's the kasha of all the Achronim. You gonna say it? You have a kasha or you wanna say it?
I wanna say it.
Don't say it.
One second.
You already heard it.
Let me just, yeah, you already heard it. So let me just give you one line why this is a kasha on Tosfos Rid. Don't be biased by what you've heard. I say things in a very specific way. So comes along, so I'm just gonna say one line, then you can elaborate after Shir if you want. You can ask the same question on Tosfos Rid, because Rav Elchanan already points out that the Tosfos Rid is going to have to be modeh that by alach belach tarovas, Bittul Berov certainly works through Nehapach. Because there you're definitively eating Isser. There's no way to apply probability by alach belach. The bliyas are everywhere. So even the Tosfos Rid is going to have to be moved into a second format of Bittul Berov by alach belach. So you can ask on the Tosfos Rid, not by Yavish B'Yavish. He's good by Yavish B'Yavish. But you can ask the Tosfos Rid, how do you see Nehapach when it comes to alach belach? We're learning Bittul Berov from Acher Rav Mahatos by both Tarovasim. But right now we're focusing on Akasha Yavish B'Yavish. Lefi the Rush, where do you see Nehapach? You only see Rove acting like a beer. It's acting like a probability. It's not acting more than that. We don't see it anymore. Says Reb Chaim, the Grach and Stencil. God, I love saying the word stencil, right? The Grach and Stencil. That really, if you look in the parsha of Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Simon and Daf Memhei, there's really two dinim in the adjudication of Beis Din and the structure of Beis Din. How does Beis Din construct their Psak Beis Din? And many Achronim bring the following raya just to bring out the point. If two Dayanim say Zakai, and the third guy says Chayav, what's the halacha?
Zakai.
Zakai. Acher Rav Mahatos. Two guys say Zakai, and the third guy says Eini Yodea, I don't know. What's the halacha?
Bring in more Beis Din.
Doesn't make sense though. If the whole point of Dayanus is just to follow the rove of, and that's the MS, How can any Yodea be worse than a guy who actually says the opposing stance? Elamai, says Rav Chaim, you see from here that there are two dinim in Dayonis. There is being mechavin ela emes, getting the accurate psak based in, and then there is a second din of Sanhedrin, which is mispar hadayonim. You need to satisfy a psak based in of chav gimel, a psak based in of gimel by mamonis, or a chav gimel by nefashos. If you only have 22 out of 23 issuing the psak, that's felt, that's lacking in the psak of based in. Any yodeya is not a dayan. You don't have the mispar dayanim. So when you have, though, two saying Zakai, one saying Chayev, you have Dayanim, so you have the Rove telling you the MS, the probability is following Zakai, but you still have a Dayan saying a stance. Ah, says the Rush, says Reb Chaim, for the Rush, so to speak. It must be that we're being Mehapich, we're being Mehapich, that last opposing Dayan, to issue a collective Psak of Zakai. Because if you only had the halacha of Rove Dayanim, follow the Rove because of the MS, you will be lacking the last Dayan's Psak. And that's lacking in Mispar Dayanim. So Al Korchach, you see in the Parsha of Sanhedrin, that not only do we see probability following the MS, we also see that we are being mehapich the words of the opposing Dayan to issue the same and deliver the same Psak as a collective whole of Beis Din as Zakai. So says the Rush, from these two dinim, I see my robe halachas. From the halacha of Acher Rab Lahatos, that I follow the MS of the Dayanim that are in the robe, I see the musag of probability. Because robe Dayanim are probably saying the MS. And I see from the fact that I need Mispar Dayanim, I need the amount, the exact amount of 23 or 3, that I have to actually mehapik the opposing Dayan stance to follow and to subscribe to the Rove. So I see from Acher Rabim a second din. I see the halacha of Bittul Barov, that I can be mehapich stances. I can mehapich a stance from Zakai to Chayev. I can mehapich a stance from Isser to Heter. Adkan. Yes, Yosef.
The way Rabbi is explaining this idea of Mispar Dayanim, it's seemingly a universal egg. Hold on, it's Gemara. So if that's so, what are you supposed to bring this in?
How's he going to reject Mispar Dayanim?
Yeah, it's a real thing. If that's a Gemara, then how do you argue that? There's no other way of explaining it, unless you say Mispar Dayanim, unless you say Mahapik. You know what's Mahapik? No Teretz.
What's a swing back to the Tosos?
Hey, why can't you just say Beis Din didn't give a Psak? There's no probability of Beis Din didn't issue a final Psak.
What?
There's no probability
if
Beis Din didn't issue a final
psak.
I don't know if I'm a psak.
I mean, that's not called a psak at all.
It's not called a psak at all. You can't go after probability. Beis Din has not issued a ruling. There is no probability to go on. Beis Din has not issued it. There's no probability.
Okay, I hear the question. Any clarifications on Rav Chaim's beer before? That's a good question, Yosef, on Tosus Rid. What would he do with Mispar Dayanim? Oh, very good. Thank you, Shkoyach. See, leaving out a hara hurts you. Okay, very good. Sam just answered it. I just realized. Yeah, I have it in my notes. I just realized. Scratch them.
Wow.
We're also asking Latosa's Rid by Lach Balach. So he's going to learn. By Lach Balach. Okay, now I'll say the Hara. Lach Balach, even Latosa's Rid. Everyone's my son-in-law. Lefila Latosa's Rid. He has to be modet that by Lach Balach, you can't use the probability concept of kol deparish mu deparish. Because you're eating actual blias of Isser. You can't say, oh, I have odds for me. The blias are everywhere. So Rov in a lach balach must be mehapich the Isser to be heter. So the Tosas Rid, very good, Sim. Tosas Rid is going to say that the mispar dayanim aspect of Sanhedrin is going to teach me napa, but by lach balach. I don't have to come on to that by yavish be yavish.
Think about it.
I don't have to come on to that by Yavish B'Yavish.
In the world, the Mitzvah Dayan only works for Lach B'Lach when I have Yavish.
I don't need to come on to that by Yavish B'Yavish, says Tosas Rid. But Tosas Rid says, I learn out probability for Yavish B'Yavish. Mispar Dayanim will be only applicable when it comes to Lach B'Lach. I don't need to come on, because I already have it.
Listen,
I'm called the Parish.
It's coming for Yavish B'Yavish, and that's the pasuk we're working with.
He's splitting the two. He is splitting the two. Why is he split the two? That's psychoanalysis. He's splitting the two. He's learning two separate dinim. First of all, everyone agrees that we're learning lach b'lach for this pasuk also. That's for sure.
We don't apply.
Well, everyone learns lach b'lach here also.
That's true.
The rush is learning everything the same way. That's a mila for the rush. The Tosus Rit is making a split in Echrami. He has two tracks. For Yavish B'Yavish, it's a Rubadisa Kaman Mahalach. For Lach B'Lach and Echanami, that's a Nehabach Mahalach. Even the Tosus Rit himself, you should ask on me. The Tosus Rit is making a split by definition. Factually, he has to agree that Nehabach applies to Lach B'Lach. So why did the Tosus Rit make that split? But he made that split. I'm just telling you what he says. Why he chose to make that split. He doesn't feel the need to be compelled to come onto a new mechanism of Nehabach B'Yavish B'Yavish. Let's think about it. Yeah.
So, will the Rosh say that by Dayan there's no din of
probability? By what?
The Rosh, by Dayan, if he's going to say there's no din of probability, it's all this idea of like Nebach here by the Dayan.
Yeah. It's all come out. Let's use some Nachminas and then we'll think about Yosef's question over Shabbos. Okay. Let's bring out the Nachminas. It's a hard. You want to know what compelled the Tosus Rit to not make it one seamless mahalach.
And
yeah, Yonah.
Can you just say that by the dayanim it's seemingly intermingled? They're all one sack to a chesed by the
stance.
This is not the same as Sabi Agavra,
but dayanim. A dayanim, you can say that each one is a source of stances.
No, but we're defining. You need miss by dayanim to create a chesed of dayanim.
Yavesh B'Yavesh, Chatichot are like the number of Dayanim.
This is good. This is good. Let's think how to refine it after Shira. I hear the point. I hear the bar. That nuance has to be figured out. Okay, let's do three nafkaminas. The first nafkamina is very fundamental. If you look for the Shach in Kuftes, Sifkat Vav, the Shach says a cryptic word. And the Achronim Mutcher over the Shach, what exactly does he mean? Pisrei Tshuva brings two dayas. The Gilyon Marsha brings two dayas. Chazanish, Primigadim argue on this point. Primigadim is in Sifsei Das, Asi. It's on the Marakomos. The Chazanish is Yoredeh, Sim Lam Zayin. And Gilyon Marsha, Pisrei Tshuva. Okay. So the Shach says the following word. This that we say, Chad betray Batil, Isser with two Kasher, is even if the two that are kosher are ketani. Those are his words. So two dayas in what he means. One daya, Chazanish, Primigadim, argue, Gilyon Marsha, fine, says that all he means to say is that even if the two that you have are smaller than the iser that you potentially have, let's say you have a 15, so let's assume that's the biggest one in the Tarobes, even if the two smaller ones are just 10 and 10, Bittul Berov will still operate. But it has to be 10 and 10. Because that will equal 20, which is more than 15. So according to that Sa'ad in the Shach is telling you it can even be smaller. In other words, you don't need double. You don't need to be 15-15 and double the 15. That's, you don't need that. But you still need both to combine to be more than the 15. So you need, number one, 2. And number two, you also need binyan. You need rov volume. You need that the combination of the kasher is more in volume than the iser. Rov binyan. That's how Bittul Berov operates. The second way of reading the Shach is that's not what he means. He means that even if the two ones are smaller, even if they're less in total than the volume of the iser, even if it's 5 and 5, that still will be okay. Because the fee of the Shach in this tzad, all you need for Bittul Berov is rov minyan. Numerical majority. You don't need rov binyan also, which is rov in volume. So that's the shaila nachronim. Does Bittul Berov mean rov binyan or rov minyan?
Does it say rov binyan? Do they say minyan as well?
Yes. So the question becomes, what would be the tut stadim in this shaila? Reish ladim. Let's go. Who wants to do it?
Tolei
enough. Yeah, tolei enough. If you work with the Tosus Rid, that the musug of Bittul Berov in a Taravas Yavish B'Yavish is an expression of Zil Basaruba of statistical probability, then all we care about is numerical majority. All we care about are the amount of sources that we have in front of us. 2 against 1, my odds are 2 against 1, and that's it. 2/3, I'm eating kosher. So I don't care what the volume of the other two kshirim are. As long as I have 2 possibilities of eating kosher, I have odds in my favor. Mashiachin, if you learn like the Rush, that this is a new mechanism called bittul berov, that we're mafkia, the shame iser, we could have a makom, yesh ladun. You could say rov minyan, but you can also very much easily hear another tzad of rov binyan. That this mechanism to mafkia the shame iser doesn't just need a numerical majority, it also needs to be in volume greater than the iser. So this shaila, rov binyan versus rov minyan, would be tully on how to understand bittul berov. According to the Tosfos Rit, it's purely a numbers game. 2 is enough, minyan. But if you go with the Rush, you can go either way. You can go minyan, but you, very possible, this koach to be triggered needs rov binyan, needs rov volume.
I don't hear why you need both. According to the Rush, you should only need the majority, even if it's not the amount of...
Only what? Minyan or binyan?
Binyan, not minyan.
Only binyan.
Only binyan.
Okay, could be. That's the third possibility. But I'm just saying the ability to even have the tzad to say binyan has to be in the Rush.
How do you not think
but you don't know which, oh, because right now we don't know which one is which. We have to, that's a good point, we have to assume the maximum worst case scenario. We assume the 15 is the Isser. I just wrote it to make it easier to look at. But yes, you're right. I don't know which one is which. We have to assume the worst case scenario, the 15 is the Isser. Second Afkamina, this is a very big one. This is going to make a man right now, okay? Make a gadol right now. Here we go. This is very important. Second Afkamina. Do I have a little extra time, guys?
Yes.
It's the second Afkamina. Many Achronim, the Meshiv Dover, and the Netziv, and Chelik Al, Simen Lamed Daled, or Sameach, the Oneg Yom Tov, Simen Daled, bring the following Shaila. What if you have a Tarobis Yavish B'Yavish? Let's say by Kiyam HaMitzvahs. The Netziv's case is you have a Sefer Torah that was written Lishma, and 2 Sefer Torah that are Ksherim that are written Lishma, and the third one was not written Lishma. Let's say by Simchas Torah, you're dancing, There's one Sefer Torah that has a gartel over it, which shows you that it's pasul. The other ones are all kosher. And a guy is carrying a Sefer Torah. He's like, oh, why is this one different than anyone else? Let's take off the gartel and let's put it under the mantle. And now they put all the Sefer Torah back into the Aron Kodesh. You're not sure which one's the pasul, which one is the kosher. And it's all a question of lishma. You're never going to be able to figure it out. You have a tarovis, yavish be yavish. One Sefer Torah is pasul, mixed up with other Sefer Torah that are lishma. Or, the Oneg Yom Tov's case, you have different chutim shel tzitzis. One was spun lishma, most of them were spun lishma, 3 were spun lishma, 1 was not spun lishma. And now you lost track, you're not sure which one it is. Do we say bittul berov in that situation? The Torah's Chesed brings a third example, where you have an even bigger chiddush. You have an esrog. You're by Rav Elbaz Ishul, and you're looking through Esrogim, and you want to go to the pitomless, naturally pitomless section. You go, you're looking around, and then Yosef Gilko comes along, and he shows you a nice, beautiful Esrog with a pitom. You take it from Yosef Gilko, and then all of a sudden it falls. Oh, pitom falls. So you don't want to tell Rav Elbaz, because now you have to pay for 2 Esrogim. So you take the new, now, puzzle Esrog, and you put it with the pitomless ones. And you have no idea which one's which. One's puzzle, because it broke, the pitum broke, and one is naturally mutter because it was naturally in the pitum list. Of course you'll tell Rabbi Elbaz because it'll be Absul Machem. But, and because it's Yashrus. But Lemaisa, you have Yavish V'Yavish of Esrogim. Do we say bittul berov in this situation? Sounds a little funny. Why not? Why shouldn't we? Oh. So the Badi Shulchan and Simen Taites, Kovet Sa'ara, Simen Ates, the Oni Yom Tov, Rav Shimon, and Shari Yosher, and Simen Taites Vav, all bring the following possibility. First of all, if you work with the Tosfos Rit, what should come out?
Mutar.
Because this is a Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish. I have the right to follow probability, and the Esrog that I took, or the Chutzal Tzitzis that I took, or the Sefer Torah that I took, is most likely have coming from the sources of Sefer Torah, Tzitzis, and Esrogim that are kosher. So Kol Deparash Mur Parash should allow you to use any one of these Sefer Torah, any one of these Esrogim. But according to the Rosh, the Achronim have a refined Chakira. Up until now, this new mechanism called Nehefach HaIsser Lios Heter is only requesting Bittul Berov to be mafkia a shame iser, and to just go back to being a default heter. I have an avela. Bittul Barov tells me that mafkia the shame iser. But in these situations, we're not just being mafkia a shame iser, we're creating a new chaloshem to the miyut. We're saying that this Sefer Torah that was pasul is now considered lishmah. This esrog, which was a broken pitum, is now considered a pitumless esrog. Mikra hadin, like a mitzias. The chutin shot. Yeah. No, no, no. By nevela, listen carefully. By nevela, listen. This is very, very important. Rabbi Chanan says this is very important. Very important. Just as a background, hashkafa. Everything in this world, the default baseline position. Spooky. The default baseline position is everything is heter. The Torah came along and assered different entities.
That's really cool.
But the baseline is heter. So when Bittul Barov operates, all it's doing is removing a shame iser, and you're back to the default position of heter. I don't have to do anything new. I just have to remove a shame iser. Here, I have to go into the Sefer Torah that is written lo lishma, and Bittul Barov has to say, that sofer, he wrote a lishma. That esrog is a naturally pitumless esrog. That chut, of titzis, was spun lishma. That's already being meichel and creating a new chaloshem to the meat. Says, you're just, all you're doing is removing. You don't have to be a happy chitza heter. That's just removing a shem iser. You're not giving it a new shem. It's just heter. You take away iser, you're just left with heter. You're not creating a new status of heter. Heter doesn't have a status. You have iser.
There's a default.
Default. That's not creating
anything. This thing never had a default.
Why is heter a default?
That's true. Everything in the world, before Matan Torah, all these things were mutter until the Torah says, this is usher. That's called the status of iser. This is ABC. I'll prove it to you after shiur. Okay, so one second. So, if you go with the Tosus, we just appreciate the structure. If you have a specific question, I'll prove it to you afterwards. The fee that Tosus read that it's a musag of kol deparish and word deparish mutter. You're taking one sefer Torah and you're assuming it's coming from the roof. The fee the rush yesh ladun. Perhaps Bittul Barov can only remove a shame iser, mafkia a shame iser, but it doesn't have the capacity to create a new chaloshem to the minority. That's asking Bittul Barov to do more than what it usually does. Or no, perhaps, and this hour of Shimon actually finishes off, it does have the capacity to create a new chaloshem, and it will give the din of the rov. It'll give it the din of the rov. Now, I just want to just explain that for a second. Everyone's getting feisty tonight. 2 weeks of no shir. Okay, ready? Let's just explain that. What is that sad to explain that really Bittul Barov has the capacity within the rush to create that new chaloshem? So first of all, Rav Shimon points out that if you go back to Dayanim, it could be very mashma from Dayanim that it does create a new chaloshem. Rav Shimon spells this out explicitly. Because what are we telling the opposing Dayan? We are saying that the opposing Dayan who's saying, let's say, Zakachayim, and everyone's saying Zakai, we are converting and transforming his words to follow the same psak for Mispar HaDayanim to make it Zakai. We are construing his psak differently than what he said. We're giving a new chaloshem. So says Rav Shimon, we already see from Mispar Dayanim maybe a smach to this tzad that it can create a chaloshem. Rav Chanan in Kovetz Aris in Siman and Zayin gives a logic behind why that should be. And Rav Parnas in Shir 115 in Golda Basra also said the same logic. So the same logic. Says Rav Parnas and Rav Chanan, Siman and Tess and Rav Chanan, Os Alef to Dalet, he says the following. He brings a precedent. We know Psachim Memhei, I think it's Memhei. Correct me if I'm wrong, Yitzhano. I think it's Psachim Memhei or Yosef. I think it's Memhei. If a person has a kli, and there's a hole in the kli, says the Gemara, you can take a piece of perfectly good chametz and put it into the kli, plug up the hole. Memhav? I think so, Memhei. Plug it up into the kli, and you will not be over Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. You won't be over Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. It's a perfectly good Shem Ochel of chametz. You will not be over Batal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Why, says Rav Chanan? Because this musuk is that the chametz becomes batal, or so to speak, subordinate to the shem of the kli. The kli has a shem of a kli. This piece of chametz is now taking on the character of a kli. It's becoming batal to the kli. It's ikar v'tafel. Says Rav Chanan, that same mechanics can be applied to a tarobas. Which Tarovistim? Pasha is definitely Lach Balach, but maybe even a Yavish B'Yavish. As follows. You have a Tarovist. You're not sure which Chaticha is which. Or you have a Lach Balach that you're not sure. You have clashing components. One is saying Isser. One is saying Heter. Says the Rav Chanan, Bitl Berov is not a Koach. It's not a mechanism that's Mevatel the Miut. Rather, Bitl Berov says, we have to give a label. We have to give a Shem to this Tarovist. What? We have a clash. We're not sure what it is. We have to give a Shem to this Tarovis. So says Rove, follow the Rove components of this Tarovis. If Rove the components is one way, give the Tarovis that Shem. Memela, if you give it that Shem, then everything in that Tarovis becomes butl to that Shem. It becomes subordinate under that umbrella Shem that you gave to this Tarovis. So says Rav Chanan, that's why it can convert a new Chalo Shem. If you have a Tarovis, which you have clashing components, you give it the Shem of the robe. Let's say it's the Shem of the robe of Lishma. So everything in that Tarovis, whether it's Klapa the Gavra or whether it's an Alach Balach, becomes subordinate under that Shem Tarovis of Lishma. Let me finish, because I think everyone's getting a little bit antsy. We'll end off with a nice, fun, cute nafkamina to go for Shabbos, okay?
Yay.
Number three, and then you can ask me all the kashas. Yosef, I expect questions on the way home. Okay, you can call me. Says the Menashe Klein, Reb Menashe Klein, in Mishnah Halachas, Chelek Tezayin, Kuflam Zayin. He brings down certain poskim. It's brought down the Pesachei Tshuva as well. That if a person refuses to rely on Bitl Berov by Yavish B'Yavish, he's an Eino Maim in B'Toras Hashem. So not the chorus. Shem Yalashem. He has to rely on Bitl Berov.
He has to?
That's the question. Says Reb Menashe Klein, that status of an apikoros, of Eino Maim B'Toras Hashem, would only make sense in the Tzad of the Rosh, not in the Tosus Rid. Why? Because according to the Tosus Rid, the Bitl Berov by Yavish B'Yavish is just a musag of Kol Deparish. It's an expression of Zil Basaruba. Be'emes, the Isser is extant. The Isser is extant. You're not sure which one. Says the Torah, you have a right. You have a right to take odds. You have a right to follow probability and take your odds and take a risk because you have the odds for you. You have a right to do so. But Lemaisa, the Isser is extant. The Torah gives you a heter, but it doesn't mean that you have to lichatchila do it if you don't want to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to take the risk. I'm more medaptic, even though I have a right to, it's mutter for me to do, but I don't want to take the risk. You can't call a person an Eino Maim in B'Toras Hashem when he knows that there's a potential risk of eating Isser. He has a right to do it, but you can't call him an Eino Maim. But Lefi, the Rosh, that Bitl Berov is a new Koach, that's Mafgia, the shame Isser. There is no Isser anymore to the Nevela. So like Rav Reisman says, if the Torah Aser Nevela, the Torah also gave you a Heter of Bitl Berov. You have, this is completely mutter. There's nothing wrong with this hamburger. Eat all three at once. If you refuse to eat the Tarovis, Yavish B'Yavish, to feed the Rosh, you're an Eino Maim B'Toras Hashem. Toras is written? No, in a Harami, I can do it, but I don't have to take the risk if I don't want to. Good Shabbos.
Wait.
Just parenthetically, the Bnei Yisrael says, that the reason why you're an Eino Maim B'Toras Hashem if you refuse is because B'Emes, when you have a built of a robe mixture, eating the Isser is bringing out the Tzotos to the Kedusha from the Isser.
No way.